blessed be your wonderful name, Father. How we appreciate this opportunity to be in your divine presence tonight, dear Lord. Lord, as we come, we confess that you are all that we have need of. You are our satisfying portion. You are the one, O God, who can fill every fibre of our being and satisfy every place, Lord, where there is a longing and a desire. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, dear God, for coming amongst us. We already feel so comforted, Lord. Truly, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. God, we just come into your great divine presence and feel the burdens being lifted, O God. Feel this life-giving spirit, this quickening power moving upon the audience, Lord. Lord, quicken our minds, quicken our souls, dear God, lifting us up in a realm, Lord God, we can lay aside every weight. Lord God, we can lay aside everything, Lord, that is so burdensome. We can find that rock in a weary land. We can find that shelter in a time of storm. We can find that mighty tower where we can run into, Lord, that place of refuge tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. You say, if any man hunger, oh, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Let him come and eat, he shall never hunger no more. Hallelujah. If a man thirst, let him come and drink tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory and praise be unto your name. Oh, we can come and look and live tonight, Father, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man has been lifted up in these last days. Hallelujah! Oh, God, we can come and look and live. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, glory and praise be unto your name tonight. You are that rock, Lord. Hallelujah. That rock that is speaking distance tonight. That rock that is hearing distance. Oh, God, with the ever-present water that are perishing people, Lord, are thirsting people, oh, God, could come and drink, Lord, and find satisfaction to their thirsty souls tonight. Oh, God, hallelujah. Let that water flow tonight, Lord, and may you quench every thirsty soul. Let it bring a refreshing, oh God. Lord God, may you strengthen your children, Lord, tonight, as they have come expecting to receive, as they have come to draw close unto you. You say, Lord God, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor. All that I have in little hidden, I will give you rest unto your souls. Oh God, what an invitation tonight, Lord, that we can come into your presence. No, you will not turn us away, Lord. You will not send us away empty. But we can come asking that our joys may be full tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so sweet to trust in you, Lord. Just to take you at your word. Lord, to know that you are faithful and true. You don't slack concerning your promises. Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Oh, glory and praise be unto your wonderful name. Lamb of God, we praise you. We give you honor and glory tonight. Blessed be your name, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will meet every need according to your riches and glory. I pray the Spirit of the living God will just minister, Lord, individually to each and every one of us. Lord God, for we lift our eyes unto you. Hallelujah. He said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be as Mount Zion, in that city shall never be removed. For the mountains are around Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his people. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. He set us upon a rock. We shall not be moved. Oh my God. We trust in you. We put our confidence in you, Lord. We cast our cares upon you tonight. Lord, you care it for us, Lord, through sunshine and shadow. Oh my God, you are our help tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. We appreciate you. We bless your wonderful name tonight. We give you all glory and honor tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. We feel encouraged tonight to be in your presence. We thank you for the waves of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank you for the inspiration, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. May you bless every stranger, every visitor within our gates tonight. Yeah, God, we ask that you will just lead us and guide us. We just want to be led by your Spirit, Lord. Whatever you have to say or do, we don't want no programs, Father. We just want your divine leadership tonight. Oh, God, we put our confidence in you, Lord. May you just have your way in our midst. May you get honor and glory. Thank you. You just commit this entire service to your hands now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask all his mercies and blessings in our precious and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. May the God which you bless you, set me happy to have you all tonight. May God bless all the strangers and visitors in our gates. I'd like to read of the 2 Thessalonians. Revelation 13. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple as God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then that wicked one be revealed. That man of sin, that son of perdition, who he's talking about. Whom the Lord shall consume with the with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Amen. And today they still would not receive Paul's gospel. God is going to judge the world by Paul's gospel. God restored Paul's gospel back in the last days to bring back one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. There's no other gospel. If any angel come and preach any other gospel which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As far as God concerned, there's no other true gospel than Paul's gospel. Notice back here, that mystery of iniquity is already at work. There's already preaching another gospel. Them with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lies. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, it's a sad thing. God would send forth his vindicated word, and a man or a woman would refuse to walk in it. Like God told Cain, if you do like your brother, I'll receive it. You don't do it, sin lies at the door. Is that right? The Bible said God had not respect to Cain's sacrifice. His works is evil. Amen. God is still the same tonight. Revelation 15. I wanted to read that right now yet. Okay, let us pray. I'm going to read during the course of this service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the children have gathered in tonight. God, their hearts are under expectation to hear your word, to receive something from your hand, like a great mama eagle would beat the eaglets with the fresh kill of the world. You liken it like that in the Bible, for you said, where the carcasses, there will the eagles be gathered together. And dear God, how you have fed our souls on this book of Daniel, this great, mysterious apocalypse that was sealed up in the Old Testament, shut up until the end time. That Daniel heard them seven thunders. And dear God, to see in these last days, those seven thunders have uttered their voices. And all these mysteries that were sealed up in this book have now been made plain. And the Holy Spirit is here, putting us into remembrance of all these things you have spoken through the mouth of a vindicated prophet. For he said, Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. Oh God, and we know all things have been restored. Every mystery of God has been revealed. We have come back to the original apostolic faith these last days. These seven thunders have uttered their voices to show us how to appear for great translation faith, dear God. Father, as we look into these things tonight, Lord, you said that the Spirit and the Bride would say come. The Spirit and the Bride would say exactly what the Spirit have already said through the mouth of that prophet. I pray tonight that these truths, Lord God, will be proclaimed. It will literally turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. For this is what you said it would do. You said, my word will not return to be void, but it will accomplish the purpose unto which I have been sent. And yet, God, this is the purpose that you have sent forth this message in these last days. I pray tonight, let the Spirit of truth, Lord, come and let him teach. Let him bring back our remembrance. Let him show us things to come. Let him lead us and guide us into all truth as we have need of it tonight. Especially in the light of the modern events. Especially in the light of the things that's happening in this hour. Oh God, I pray, Father, for that divine unction. That unction from the Holy One that will teach us all things. Let the Spirit of God search the deep things of God tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and commit this service and all these beloved saints into your hands. May you just have your way in our midst now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these mercies and blessings. Could we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. God bless me. Have a seat. Amen. Yes, sir. We certainly are thankful for his divine presence. I trust maybe you have a little track with you tonight. You might want to look at it. Some of the things inside of there that we have been looking at. And it's over 2 months now we've been studying this book of Daniel. And, you know, it just seems that if God give us 2 years, I don't think we can really truly finish or complete it. Because we're just trying to maybe give it in a panoramic that you can look and see what these things are, but there are so many things, and especially almost 6, 7, or could be quite more. I haven't been keeping count of how many services we've been writing this chapter 9 and just can't seem to come out. And that's exactly where I would like to look back tonight in chapter 9. And you can just turn the Bibles right in Revelation 15 where we had it. Best I begin to read a little bit here from there and then work my way around and see how the Holy Spirit is going to lead us tonight. And and just feel the inspiration just right to strike some of these things. And it'd be good that even some of the young ones, and I really like to see them little boys there with all their chats and everything else, how they there and they bring it to them to church and they sit in the front and they open it up. And may God bless them and give them understanding. Bible says we are being taught of Him. All His children is being taught of Him. Isaiah 54, I believe it is, and God is so gracious. He teaches out of His Word and to establish us in the present truth. Let's just read in Revelation 13 a little bit. I'm one thing for the subject tonight, the Prince that shall come. And we're still in Daniel 9. I was speaking Sunday 7 weeks for the Tumim. And now I just want to take that Prince as we try to tie some of these things into the last half week and just trust it become clear, because we write to the time where that week is fixing to begin and we must be taken off the face of the earth. And that is exactly what's happening, because Joseph's brothers has gathered together, and Joseph had to dismiss his wife to the palace so he could reveal himself to his brothers. And when he's going to begin to reveal himself to his brothers, we know in the Bible how to begin to mourn and cry, like it's recorded in the book of Zechariah and also in Leviticus 23 in the Day of Atonement, where it was shown a type, and also in the book of St. Matthew 24, where he spoke in the last days, I will send my two angels, and they will gather the elect from the four winds of the earth, and they shall mourn, and all these things. And we know that we're right at that time where these things are fixing to happen. And that's why, as we see all these things taking place, all these modern events, just making these things clear and causing us to lift up our heads and look up, knowing our redemption through at night. And how it should be that the waiting church in this hour, lamps are being trimmed and filled with oil. It's an hour when we come in the house of God, we capitalize on every moment, every opportunity we have to sit and to hear the gospel and to search the scriptures and to look back at the prophecies of the ancient, of the wise men, the saints and sages, the prophets of old who wrote this Bible, seers who the Spirit of God came upon and saw visions of prophecy and foretold these things, and it became the Bible, their inspiration, their utterances. And here, thousands of years after, we see these things coming to pass exactly as it's spoken in the Bible. Amen. Ha. What it ought to do to us. No wonder Jesus says, wise men, sages, saints of old, desire to see these things that we are seeing. Amen. How the saints, even in the apostolic times, they looked forward to see the coming of the Lord. They thought it was going to happen in their time. But they didn't know that some time was going to run out. But God took John on the Isle of Patmos and showed him these seven church ages. And showed him that there's going to be a time and how all this is going to run out. And then the church will be taken off the face of the earth. And God was going to go back to the Jews. And it's all laid out here in this book. Great book of prophecy. Book written in symbols. And it's so mysterious. The church world have just, you know, they just, people just don't go to it. It seems so confusing, it seems so mysterious. But God in these last days have opened up these seven seals and all these hidden mysterious things to the trained mind, to the one who's been taught by the Holy Spirit. It's just like reading Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And we can take up the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, all these great prophetic books and just read them, and all these things that even though they're in symbol form, we can see, because when we have reason to see, not that it is a we are any certain thing better than any one of them saints back there. It's just that it's in our time. It was promised to be made known. It's in our time the Holy Spirit has ripped the seals off of the book and handed it down that we can look and see these things. In our time, all these prophecies are becoming history. So now that we have reason to see the Spirit of truth, as Jesus said, is going to come, not to the world. The world will not see me, you will see me, I will come unto you. That's why we can worship the living Christ in our midst, recognizing the presence of the living God, coming according to His divine promise, doing exactly what He said He will do to identify His presence. Many people, they call many things the Holy Spirit. They get moved, they get enthused. They have come under so much religious works and protracted meetings and great influential speakers and all these things. But they fail to see what will be the sign, what will be the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of His church. Amen. To every age, it said, He'd have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Is that right? Amen. Every age, the Spirit is going to be speaking, the Spirit is going to be teaching, and there's going to be an elected group in every age who will hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, that I will send you another comforter whom the world cannot receive. He, personal pronoun singular, is that right? Amen. Will come to lead you and guide into all truth. Amen. He will bring back things to your remembrance, what I've spoken unto you. Because there's many things I want to speak unto you, He says, but you could not bear it. Is that right? Amen. Things. What are things? Many things. Things in the Bible is mysteries. Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. John said, we have received, 1 John 2:27, we have received an unction from the Holy One that teacheth us all things. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, the Spirit of of God searcheth the deep things of God. The natural man can't receive the things of God. Is that right? He can only know the things of a man. He can't know the things of God. What are things? Things are mysteries. The mysteries of God, the truths, amen. Paul says, I have many things I want to speak unto you, but I can't bear them. I fed you with milk. Amen. But he that useth milk is unskillful in the word. Is that right? Have your senses exercised so you can discern good from evil. Amen. He wanted to bring some deeper things to some of those churches, but the carnal state that they were in, he could not bring those things. He said, I had to feed you with milk because you had some division and strife. He had to keep dealing with those things, trying to set them in order. Amen. But how in his heart he desired to bring them up, to wean them. Isaiah said, whom shall we teach knowledge? Whom shall we make them understand doctrine? Them that are weaned. Amen. He had to wean them from those things. He says, look, in Hebrews 6, the time will come. He says, if God permit, then we go back to laying on our hands and all these things and baptisms and all these things. But he says, let us go on to perfection. Is that right? So, he wanted to bring the church right up to that place where they could be filled with all the fullness of God. He had seen the Son of Man reveal, and he knew what was the purpose that Son of Man was being made manifest for. He had seen one that was waved amongst them. Amen. He says he was seen of Peter and he was seen of 500. He was seen of James and the apostles, but he was seen of me also. Amen. Paul had seen him and Paul had brought that great revelation to the church. Amen. Separating the law from grace and showing how that seed had come, the faith seed had come, and the faith was revealed. And we are no longer shut up unto that faith. Amen. Now we could come step by step. The righteousness of God was being revealed in this gospel. Amen. Romans 1, he said the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith unto faith. He said we have been changed from glory unto glory. Why? Why is he preaching that? Because he had seen that original glory in Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He was the Word made flesh. He was the Messiah. He was all the law and the prophets and the Psalms. He was everything. He was the word that we bypassed when he came from taught the flesh. And Paul, knowing that was the gospel, that was the good news, Amen. That the hour has come. We don't have to walk in darkness no more. The light that can light us all the way back to the Garden of Eden has come. Amen. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It was a new day being broken forth now. The Easter seal was broken. Life after that was being revealed unto them. They knew it wasn't just a more church joining. It wasn't just keeping some more commandments now, but it was coming back into the full sonship of a son of God. What we had in the Garden of Eden. Amen. That way was being revealed. Jesus came to make that way. That's why I could walk on the water and speak to the storm and speak to the tree and do all these different things to show unto us what we had in the beginning. Amen. It's so tremendous. And they knew it and they looked for it. And they knew it was going to come. And they preached that word and made those things so plain. And they brought such conviction upon that early church. And those men and women, they gave their lives. They lived for that word. It was everything to them. They Paul said, I am not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Amen. I know a man who was caught up into the third heaven. Man who went up into the third heaven, came back and preached. Who is this Melchizedek? Came back and preached. Amen. That in this earthly tabernacle be resolved. There's another one waiting. Amen. He had seen them theophanies, all them things. He said he had seen what Jesus talked about. In my Father's house were many mansions. He had seen that bride was that new Jerusalem. Amen. Mount Zion, city of the living God. He had seen those things. He had seen who the blessed and only potentate was. King of kings and Lord of lords. That one who will come in the brightness of his coming will smite that man of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. That little horn that Daniel had seen, who had been broken without hand. Paul, caught up in the spirit, had seen these things. And what a gospel he brought and proclaimed back to that early church. You know, no wonder today people cannot understand that this message that we have received. They feel it's a strange message. But if anybody would take this message in these last days that this prophet of Malachi 4 came and brought, they will see that this was the gospel which Paul preached. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, not no strange doctrine. It's not no man we are following. It's not no strange thing we're going upon talking about some prophet or something. It was promised, amen, that the church, amen, was going to come back to the original apostolic faith. Glory be to God. The very objective of God for 400 years in the time of the reformers. After over 900 and something years of Catholic persecution, when they killed over 68 million Christians, when it was just the dark ages. It was calling Christianity the dark ages because Romanism ruled the world. Amen. They wiped out the church. But God was determined, amen, he was going to bring the church back. Hallelujah. He was going to bring it back one day. Hallelujah. That the very church that he started off with on the day of Pentecost would be standing in the last days again. Hallelujah. And God raised up mighty reformers. But all they could do was reform. There was not prophets in the word of God to come to them. They could only reform. So they brought the truth as great as Luther was. As great as he protested the Catholic Church, as great as he shook the church, as great as he turned the whole of Europe upside down, as such courage and determination he had to stand in the midst of all the fanaticism, amen, and preach the just shall live by faith. Yet it was only the evangelical understanding of the just shall live by faith. Amen! Hallelujah! It was only brother reforming, bringing back to the church. He still had Trinitarian baptisms. He still had man's ideas. He had all these kind of sprinklings and all these kind of different things. They were still smoking and drinking the beer and all these things. Exactly right. Amen. But God was going to use that for a time. Because Jesus in Matthew 13 had given a great revelation that the church is like a wheat plant. In Mark 4, Jesus was preaching the church was like a wheat plant. How, you know, you plant a seed and after the seed falls in the ground, up comes a blade. Remember in Matthew 13? And the angels got to reap it up because there were tears coming up too. And he said, no, you can't tell the difference yet. You haven't until harvest time. But let them grow, let your root abode to them. Is that right? He said, but at the harvest time, the Son of Man is going to come. Hallelujah. Lord, the word will come back in the last days, brother. We will know in the harvest time again. God will bring back that same ministry. He will have the same signs, same wonders, the same teaching, the same life itself. Amen. Glory be to God. He will have the same characteristics to show his Hebrews 38, to show his St. Luke 17, 30, to show his Revelation 10, to show the fullness of the word coming back, to show the entirety of the life, to show the very image of the life that will bypass, to show the word made flesh. The church will not be in doubt. The church will not have the question. There will be such a ministry that even the natural man without revelation, who don't understand the mystery of the bride coming, he will think that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He will want to worship that man. Hallelujah. They will want to form some kind of cult. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be so mysterious. But that man, that prophet will not accept worship. Hallelujah. He will say, don't worship me. I'm only one of your fellow brethren of the prophets. Hallelujah. Amen. Worship God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir. Just hold the Bibles right there for a little while. Amen. I know I can attend the Revelation trip. Just hold it right there for a little while. Amen. You see, I'm just trying to find that inspiration when the Spirit wants to strike the word. Amen. I've been doing that for a month now. Every time I come, I must speak about the prophet. I must introduce him, place him there, and show what's happening. Show why he came. Show what he has done. Because even in the book of Daniel, there's many theological ideas. But I want to show you that the book is opened. Seven tongues of other voices. That same one that Daniel saw. Amen. In Daniel's last vision, he saw Michael, the great prince, delivering the name from the book. At that time. Amen. And brother, in the book of Revelation, it shows him also. And it confused the people. Because on the bridge, the prophet says, he says, here he is, Revelation, coming directly to the Jews. Amen. That great angel coming there. And so, oh, those seven tongues for the Jews, they get all confused. Amen. Because they felt like Daniel saw the same vision that John saw. Both of them heard them seven thunders. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, what is under that seventh trumpet is under the seventh seal. Amen. But the same gospel carries over and does the same thing on that side. Glory be to God. He's going to call them out of the substitute atonement. Of the blood of bulls and goats. Them Jews right now, all they know about is a natural temple. All they know about is an animal sacrifice. But one day they're going to see the real tabernacle that God pitched. They're going to know that they're going to see the thing that Moses saw in heaven, that Paul saw in heaven, that John saw in heaven, that real tabernacle. Amen. The one that Paul said God pitched and man didn't pitch. Hallelujah. God in his holy temple. God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says Solomon desired to build a temple, but howbeit the Most High don't dwell in tabernacle made with hands. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. When that real temple which God manned in picture, God spoke it into existence. God created by immaculate conception. A body has not prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God becoming flesh. Amen. Their eyes going to open one day. And they're going to see it. And the reason there is such blindness among the Gentiles, the reason only a handful could see it, because history is repeating itself right now. The same way when Elijah came after 400 years of reformation. How many know that there was no prophet from Malachi to John? 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New. Amen. And during that time you had the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin Council and your Essenes and your Stoics and all these religious groups rose up there, led by man's ideas. Some didn't believe in angels, the Sadducees didn't believe in no angels. Though also the Bible says angel came to Daniel, angel came to Samson, angel come led Moses, is that right? Angel come to Gideon. Yet them Sadducees didn't believe in no angels.
Bible says Elijah raised the dead. Elisha raised the dead. Is that right? Yet they didn't believe in resurrections. You see how big influential organization got the Bible and got truth in the Bible, right? And they can't see it? So, well, the Sadducees was like that. Then you had the Pharisees, and but they were like the Seventh-day Adventists today. But they will do a thing on that Sabbath day. And they were so self-righteous, they're looking for who doing something on the Sabbath day to condemn them, to show them more righteous than them. And they even accused the Lord of the Sabbath, not even knowing who he was. Hallelujah! Glory! So, but you see that it's not different. It's just sometimes we can't see the same thing happening again. And all of a sudden, at the end of 400 years, thus said the Lord, a prophet come walking out of the air. Was he a Sadducee? Was he a Pharisee? Did he belong to the Sanhedrin Council? Did they know who he was? They didn't know who he was. They said, who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself? We can understand. And when they came there, you think he welcomed them and says, praise God, and no, but from the time he spoke, they begin to blast them spirits. Amen. He said, who wanted to flee from the wrath to come? You generation of snakes, you vipers and these things. But because he had a message, he was sent to bring birth pains. He was sent to turn a corner. He was sent to shake the system. He was sent to rebuild the religious leaders. He was sent to call out the elected. Amen. And all your heart down inside of there, read it in the Bible. In the breaking of the New Testament, read it and see. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Simeon and Anna. And Joseph and Mary was the only one. Six people. He said, notice, one's a carpenter, the normal man, one's a priest, and then the one's a prophet. Yeah. Amen. Look at them three classes down inside of the air. In that time, that dark time, covered over by denominationalism, they was getting supernatural experiences. They were breaking into a realm to see the prophecies that was laid in the Bible for hundreds of years was coming to pass right here. Is that right? Sure. So ain't strange, friends, when you sit and you realize that sometimes you say, well, how come the world ain't talking about that? No, that's why it's right. That's why it's not for the world. The world will not see me, but you will see me. Amen. Come unto you. I will show myself unto you. Amen. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it. It's the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, revealing and quickening that word, making it alive unto you. Amen. Look back in the Bible. That is how you know he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is how you know he does the same, acts the same. That is why you can have confidence. It is he in the day that you are living in, because he's working in the same pattern. Is that right? If he was doing something different, then God changes. But he said, I am God and I change not. And any trained believer, anyone trained to the voice of God? Now, if you're trained to a church voice, you will look for it in the way the church would expect it. But if you're trained to the word, the Bible, if you're trained to the pattern laid out here in the scriptures, how God works, how he operates, then you'll be looking for it to come in the continuity of the Bible. Because God is a God of continuity, is that right? Sure. Amen. And when John came, he knew they couldn't 400 years. That look at my generations past there. He knew they would not understand that his ministry. So did you know they thought John was the Christ? Did you know that some people were going around thinking John was the Christ? Sure. Did they ask thou the Christ? Art thou Elias? Art thou that prophet? Who art thou? The religious world was seeing a ministry, but they couldn't place it in the Bible. It was a scriptural promise being manifested, but the teachers were not trained sufficiently. And remember, those Jewish scholars back there is far more scholars than the one we have today, you know? No, not that now. They were far more trained in the scriptures than what we have at Bible school students today. And yet those teachers, they couldn't put it together. Their concept was wrong. And John, knowing that the confusion, knowing the, that it must not, the ministry must not be misunderstood. He knew a whole great bunch of people wasn't going to get it. But for the elect's sake, he has to place it in the Bible. Because he knows that faith will only rest upon the word. So when they come and ask him who he was, he couldn't say, I'm Zechariah's son. But he had to place it in the scripture. He had to place it in the season and the time. He had to have the identification to show to them it was the word coming to pass. And he knew that faith was going to catch that. Those who had that faith in their heart would recognize it. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he took Isaiah prophecy and he identified himself in it. Did the church will accept it? Was it correct? Amen. Did he ever join up with them? Did they have nice things to say about John? Bible said many times when Jesus confront them and Jesus put pressure on them, you know. You know, Jesus had a way. When they get in the marketplace or in the square and different places like that, and they come to ask the questions, he would answer the question with a question. And he jumps in and says, was John baptism a man of God? Was John a prophet? And the Bible said the people couldn't answer because if they say no, they're going to stone them because the many multitudes believe he's a prophet. So they wouldn't acknowledge it for fear of stoning. See. But Jesus was exposing them because he knew they didn't believe that John was a prophet. He said, if you think I'm fanatical, he said, he's a prophet alone, he's more than a prophet. He said, and he went from Isaiah 40, from Malachi 3, he went to the Malachi 3 and said, behold, I send my messenger before my face. Is that right? Yeah. And he showed he's a prophet and he was a messenger. A prophet messenger, amen. Coming in that conjunction at the end of the Old Testament, and his ministry was to wind up the Old Testament and introduce the Messiah. It was a one-man move, and people didn't like a one-man move when they had many denominations. I wonder if God would be treated the same way if he sent a one-man move in an age when they're full of denominations. I mean, spirits don't die. They do the same thing in this day. Because they don't want a one-man move. But they'll be, behold, I will send you Elijah, and he, personal pronoun singular. But to show the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. You see, God knew how shrewd the theological mind is. And he knew they're going to quote Revelation 11 and say that died Moses and Elijah. But God knowing the thoughts. He says, now notice, in Revelation 11, when Moses and Elijah come, they come together to the Jews. But when they come to the Gentiles, they come alone. It's Elijah alone. Amen. But bind them up. Amen. Why? That we can know that God has fulfilled that word. And that is why many times you see people starting to speak things. Sometimes people get somebody say, oh, read out of them books. We just, you know, you should read out no book or something like that. And you know, sometimes they hold the untrained mind with all kind of carnal thoughts and they bind them up. And a believer sometimes, they don't know what to do, what to say. And they feel kind of wrong and they get confused. But you know, Moses, after Moses went to the pillar of fire. Did you know, how many know God told Moses, you be God and let Aaron be a prophet? That's the Bible. That's what Jesus told them Jews. He said, they're trying to play, we don't want to talk about no man, we're going to get God the glory. You know what the mission is? We love Jesus. We follow no man, we follow Jesus. They don't know Jesus is the word. Jesus told him, he said, this is John 10. He said, you call the prophet God? To whom the word of God come to? Then how are you against me when I say I'm the son of God? Because the Jews didn't believe God had no son. They know the son of God meant God coming from a man. One of Adam's seed. Because God promised Abraham he's going to have a seed. God promised David the same seed. God promised Eve the same seed. Is that right? And his name is going to be called Emmanuel. It was going to be God himself in flesh. Amen. come into the human race to redeem the human race because of his own law. Amen. And that is why you find that in the scripture there, we look and we see those things, and sometimes, you know, the failure to see how Moses told Joshua, he said, Joshua, take these five books. Moses wrote Genesis to Deuteronomy, and he gave it to Joshua. He said, meditate in this day and night. You think Joshua going to say, I want God to talk to me, he said, God talk to you. I don't want that. That God show you that? I want my own private business. He can't do that. He has to take the word, and Moses told him, he said, meditate in this day and night, don't turn to the right, not to the left. Because Joshua understood that wasn't Moses' thought. He understood Moses was vindicated, Moses spoke into existence, let there be flies, let there be frogs, let there be this. Is that right? So they knew, when they saw that word in Moses, they saw the glory. Read Exodus 34, Paul was teaching about it in 2 Corinthians 3. He says Moses had to put a veil over his face. The glory was so great they couldn't look at Moses. When he came back with that pillar of fire. Is that right? Amen. So Joshua then knew. So whenever anything come up, they go back to that word of Moses. Look at Paul telling Timothy. He said, commit these things which I'm teaching you unto faithful men, that they may teach others also. Is that right? He said, don't be ashamed of me and ashamed of my testimony. Amen. And Timothy, he knew who Paul was. But he saw when Paul came back there, meaning to write those things, not the Lord say, but I say. You can imagine before that became the Bible. Remember there were some letters, you know. I remember this man in jail. And he said, you in jail and you want to run this church in jail? From jail? So who you think you is at all? But brother, when that man stood up there and began to bring the word, they knew where he was getting that word from. Yeah. Look, we read 2 Thessalonians tonight. That was a letter he wrote because of a situation. They were shaking in mind and troubling spirit. They were getting some strange doctrine saying the day of the Lord is on pass. And here he was writing these things, and yet we know heaven and earth will pass away, that word cannot pass away. Yeah. We know guys wrong, the whole Bible know what the paper is written on. Amen? Yeah. Exactly right. So when we look and we see those things happen, we see God vindicate those men like that. Elijah, how he stood up and says, no dew or rain will fall until I call for it. Yeah. He is until God says, until I call for it in the first person. Yeah. He put himself in God's place. Yeah. People fail to see that the message is you and the message becoming one. Jesus saying that day you will know I in you and you in me. I and my Father are one. Then Father, I pray that they will be one like I and you are one. Let me tell you, if Jesus was God, if he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in him, if he was perfect, if he was omniscient and knew all things, he could not pray wrong. He had to pray according to the plan of God. Then if Jesus prayed according to the plan of God, knowing the plan of redemption, that must come to pass. Don't you see where this church is going to stand in the last days? Don't you see the church will be born of his bone and flesh with flesh? Don't you see when the prophet said she is him reveal what he's talking about? Don't you see that when the Bible says the Spirit and the bride shall come, that very bride is going to stand there, brother, and speak the word. Hallelujah! Knowing she knows it is he inside of her fulfilling his own word that he left for this time. Jesus said, you shall know as you were known. We are not going to be known like some man tell us, you know, be a good church member. And this, you know, we are going to know ourselves the way God knows us. Because this, when the Spirit of Truth come and begin to take this word and begin to unfold it and find your name in the book, find the age you are living in, find the promise that you have to manifest, find the experiences to identify that the life in you is not your mother and your father life, but that is God's own life inside of the air, and prove that you are an attribute of God. No devil in hell will be able to prevail against that. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Spirit of God will bring such a faith in the hearts of the bride. The Bible says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And when this Bible has been revealed, amen, you begin to see you was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Amen. Under no circumstances could your name be blotted out. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Hallelujah. Who shall any charge against God elect? Is God who justifieth? There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Greater is he inside of you than he that is in the world. Amen. I mean, we can go on there pointing more and more scriptures to show you God will bring that bride to stand in a certain place, that she will know as she was known. Brother, when Eve stood there and Adam looked at her and says, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Let me tell you, if Eve didn't know where she come from, from the time Adam preached that message right there, he revealed to her where she was before she became express. Amen. And the authority spoke that with. She had no more mind back. If she was one day, she wasn't one day no more. It was finished right there. It was settled once and for all. Friends, that's exactly what happened. It was the word that you came out of who was speaking to you in this day and telling you, you are in me. And look your name here. Look your life here. Look your experience here. Look your behavior here. This is the kind of way of think. This is the way you act. Amen. And you have to say, yes, Lord, it's true. I believe it. Yes, Lord. How you know that, Lord? He said, I'm the Word. Amen. That's how I know those things. Glory be to God. Amen. He shows you that you are part of the Word. And then you know certain things about the Word. Heaven will part, the Word can't fail. If you are part of the Word will not return to God void. The Word will accomplish your purpose until it is sent. If you are part of the Word, you ain't coming in the Word to be a failure. You come to fulfill God's purpose. You may think you are a failure if you don't understand the predestined mystery behind your life. Amen. You are not no failure, brother. Let me tell you that. You're predestinated for a purpose. You are called according to the purpose of God. And all things, not some, all things, work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. We may not understand it right now, but we'll understand it by and by. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We can't understand all the ways that he would lead us to the blessed promised land, but he guides us with his eye and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by when the morning comes. Amen. Hallelujah. When the mist has been rolled away, you shall know as you are known. When you hear from your theophany, amen. And your theophany say, press on, Lily. Come up here, amen. Calling you to perfection, amen. Calling you to that perfect place. But are you going to find you reach some places that you almost want to give up? You're going to find you reach some places that you're almost confused. But all of a sudden you're going to find just at your weakest point, there's going to be something going to come there and push you on. Cause it to rise up. Amen. You will understand it. Oh my. It's like a man with a dream. He said, Lord, why did you forsake me in them trying times? I look only once at a footprint. He said, no son, that's my footprint. That was the time I was carrying you. He was carrying you in them times. You didn't understand. He was bearing you on eagle wings. Amen. Yes, sir. I guess he wanted to encourage you a little bit. I just get talking here and just get happy. Amen. You see, when you have the kind of religion that gets you happy. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Like the old colored man, the prophet, he said, my mommy, I dreamed her last night, and she had this heartfelt religion like you're talking about these days. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's the kind we have here tonight. Yeah. Amen. Glory be to God. Because if your religion don't get you happy, if your religion have no emotion, bury it, it's dead. Yeah. Anything that don't have no emotion is dead. Bury it, amen. Pack it away. My. But you have something to get you happy, amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Is your word getting you happy? Is nothing but giving you jokes, making you laugh and making you happy? Is not pulpit clunging? Is your word quickening power on the word, creating a joy, causing the joy bells to ring in your heart? Amen. Glory. See, you know God cares for us. All the devil may try to depress you, throw all kind of thing upon you, get your negative, show you all your faults, back up in a corner, but I show you that you can't make it, not even the race to begin with. Devil may come down in a confusion, tell you you're a hypocrite and you ain't really love God, and but I use all the legalist parts of the world to condemn you. Amen. But then God just come and put a touch you, amen, and drive all that back. When something real comes, when his voice speaks to you, you know he's speaking to you, amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, yes sir. Yes sir. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, I think we should do some reading. If we don't do some reading, we're going to just leave the Bible open right there. All right, let's just read a little bit. Revelation 15. But I just feel, you know, I don't know, I just feel like these days. Just speak those things. Help some of them younger ones, help some of the new ones. Amen. Remind some of the old ones. Amen. Yes, sir. We don't have to be all dung and gloomy and wondering. Let's just press the battle, amen. With real determination in this hour. Because you know, you have the time when you're the spankers, you spankers feel good. So when he's making you happy, enjoy that time too, amen. Glory. Amen. Yes, brother. Wherever it is, we love him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Amen. Now remember, I'm speaking with the prince that shall come and be. We're just reading 2 Thessalonians 2, and Paul was speaking about this one that was going to be revealed in the last days. The man, he called him the man of sin, the son of perdition. Only one person was ever called the son of perdition in the Bible. The only one time it was used before that time was Judas. Jesus said, haven't I chosen you 12, and one is a devil? And the Bible said, and Satan entered into Judas' heart. Is that right? Amen. Exactly right. And here Satan was incarnate in flesh, while God was incarnate in flesh. And they look each other in the eye. And Jesus broke the bread and dipped it in himself, and he handed to him. And he says, do what thou must do as quickly. He had already said, he that eateth bread me shall have his heel against me. And Paul is saying, the last days there will be a man too. Who will be just like that? He'll be the devil incarnate. He's coming. And he said, remember not when I was with you, I told you these things? How that mystery of iniquity already working, those things there? And here in John now, let's look at what John saw. Some of what John saw. And see how it blends with what Paul saw. And we take it back to Daniel in a little while. And see how it is the same revelation unfolding down as the church had need of it. God, keep reminding them, it's going to come. It's going to come, and we are here, friends. We are here now, in that time. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And later on, the Bible says how seamen, Revelation 17, multitudes of people. It's all in symbol. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. Not an ordinary animal, it's symbolic. The prophecy in symbol form, being given in symbol that might be sealed up, kept a secret only for the elect, to whom God wants to reveal it to. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Now we know in the animal kingdom, we have no animal like that. Amen. They're like a composite beast. And if you notice, It reminds us of something in the Bible, which we're going to read in a little while. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. My, look at this beast. It was dying, it come back alive. Had such an influence to attract the whole world. To influence the whole world and make them wonder after this beast. And they worshipped the dragon who gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Notice this now. A mouth was given unto him, and with that mouth he spoke great things. Blasphemies and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That is 3.5 years. 12 months a year. 3.5 years. He had power to rule, to reign. 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Notice now. And to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. My. You see how we got to know this word in this hour? You see how we just can't play around and just say we love Jesus and all, but we have to know who we worship. We have to know what we believe in. Now to the whole world will worship this beast. A beast that's blaspheming God, blaspheming his tabernacle, a beast that's going to make war against the saints. They are false religion, false worship. Now watch now. Verse 4 was showing us who can make war with him. You're going to control all them armies? You're going to control all them politics? Is that right? Verse 7 says, power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Were they talking English? Were they talking Spanish? Were they from Trinidad? Were they from France? Were they from Germany? Whether from America? It don't matter. All tongues, all kindreds, all nations, you have power over them, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. No wonder Jesus said if it's possible, even the elect would have been deceived. But the elect will not be caught in there, we know that. I wonder what is going to wake that elect up. Amen. And pull her out of that system. Now watch now. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. All them that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So that means we'll have to know if our name is in that book. We just can't say, I ain't worshiping the beast. You'll have to find your name in the book. And your name showing written, your natural name that your parents give you when you're born. Is there a way to know your name in the book? Yes. Well, how did John say, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness? He said, I'm John Zechariah's son. He said, I'm the voice of one. Yes. Jesus didn't say he's John Zechariah's son. Jesus said, behold, I sent my messenger before my face. Yes. Jesus said, search the scriptures that testify of me. Yes. Is that right? Yes. All right. So they were in that book. And you better find your place in the book too. If any man have an heirloom here, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. What does that mean? He who had conquered the world, he who lead them into captivity, in organizations, all these things, let me tell you, he shall go into captivity too. Because there's one strong enemy who could bind him, who could shut him up in a prison too. Yes, sir. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Killed 68 million, he'll be killed with a sword too. So, here's the patience and faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns. Now notice one thing, we already pick up one thing already. That this beast that John was talking about is going to do what? He's going to control all politics. He's going to make war. And no one can make war with him. And he can make war upon the church. And nobody can have no policy to stop him or boycott him. Because he's going to send the armies that he has control over to lock them up, to confiscate the premises, to throw them into prison, to shoot them into prison for the sake. Sure he will. And that ain't nothing new. That's why he killed 68 million back there. To know that for a man to do that, he has to control all politics. Because his power is over every nation, kindred, and tongue. Every nation, kindred, and tongue have governments. And that power over them, you have to have the government under your control. It is showing us this one is going to control all politics. Not America politics. Not Italian politics. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. You're going to control the world. You have power over them. Let's go on now. Revelation 13:8, we also see the whole world will worship him. Is that right? Because he's going to control all the religions too. You hear me? Now if this Bible, you have enough experience to know the Bible is true, because you know enough truth to know the Bible don't speak lies. And that was the spirit of prophecy. So if the spirit of prophecy is saying there's going to come a man who controls all the politics in the world and all the religions in the world, then it's outstanding. Which man have ever done that? And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Now notice something here. That beast that we just read about came out of where? The sea. In Daniel 7, we are taking it, and I'll just walk in a little while. There were four beasts, and they came out of where? The sea. So this beast was come out of the earth. So that means it must be found in some territory that wasn't covered by those former symbols. In other words, you watch where the Babylonian power had ruled. Get on your map. Remember, Babylonian power wasn't in Babylon alone, you know. They ruled the whole world. Remember the Median Persians? They didn't just rule Babylon, they didn't just rule Median Persia alone. They ruled the whole world. Remember that Greece didn't just rule Greece alone, they ruled the world. There was world empires. There was going to be four of them. Is that right? And all those beasts came up out of the sea. And the sea meant multitudes of people. What people? Any people? No nations. What were the nations that comprised the Babylonian kingdom? What was the nation that comprised the Median Persian empire? What was the nation that composed the Grecian empire? Remember, even Israel was part of the Roman empire? Israel was part of the Grecian empire? Is Jerusalem trodden by the Gentiles? They were part of the Babylonian Empire too? Sure! But this beast is coming out of territory that those four nations were coming out of. And we go right back to Europe. Because that's where most of them nations was. Greece, Rome, Babylon in the east. Is that right? Median Persia in the east, that eastern hemisphere, is that right? Then we'll have to be in some territory that those four symbols didn't cover. Remember the Western civilization. It came out of the eastern hemisphere, is that right? They fled Europe to come to America. Okay, we're going to get it. Because remember, this Revelation 13:11 here is speaking about the United States of America. I proved that in the Bible for you already. On the message, third angel message. And then we're going to pick it up here again and show and prove it back and forth to show you how that earth is the United States of America. Notice. So I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. That is the United States of America. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, which we're going to show you is Rome, which you already know, but I'm saying it that way for some of the strangers and the young ones. And causeth the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. And we're going to find out how America that had that Pentecostal move. She had no other move other than that Pentecostal move. When the Reformation of the church started, the church started in Jerusalem. Then it went to France, the Reyners and Martin. Then it went into Europe with Columba. Then it went to Germany with Luther. Come over into England with Wesley. And America. And what's something? Today America is the strongest nation politically in the world. See? Biggest army. All these things. Most highly scientific and everything else. Leading the world, and here it is, she feeding the world, strongest industrialized nation in the world. There's 7 industrialized nations, and America is the leader of them. Right now, in the whole world crisis here, even when they had the problems in the Gulf with the invasion of Kuwait, Germany couldn't go and lead them because their country was that they couldn't have no foreign troops. After World War II with Hitler and them. England couldn't take the lead and go and lead them. Italy couldn't take the lead and go and lead them. Japan couldn't take the lead and go and lead them. Not one of them. France couldn't do it. Each one of them 7,000, 14,000. America have 310,000 people outside there. If you want leading. Why? Because they have led the world since World War II. Become the strongest nation. And that's why it becomes the one that Rome uses in the last days. And you watch, so the prophet say, you say the Pentecostals, Matthew 24:24, he say, is that deceiving age that was going to deceive all the world, Matthew 24:24. That was the Pentecostals. Because they have all the gifts of the Spirit. Healings and signs and wonders and all the different things. They were more light than the other churches. Because they were far, far more advanced. It was that shock stage of the wheat that looked like the grain but was not the grain. And that movement didn't come in Germany. It didn't come in America. It didn't come in Russia. It didn't come out to England. It came out to the United States. It came out where the beast came out to the earth. That's where it came up. They had that revival. That's why he says David Duplessis and was swinging the whole thing into Babylon. The whole Pentecostal move that they were swinging into Babylon, back into Rome. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. See, you won't understand me if you're not a close observer of the scripture and have light in the message of the hour. Some of these things will be a little far-fetched to you. And we're going to try as we go on in this study to crystallize some of these places that you read and you believe, but you can't prove it in the Bible. We're going to try to show you in the Bible where these things fit in the Bible and why the prophet could say that. Why he could make that. And say that is the deceiving one going to deceive the whole world right here. That is the shock and those things. And when it comes to Revelation 13, there's not anything other than you're reading other than the Pentecostal movement. Because she and all them other denominations is gonna, but them others, they are becoming Pentecostal. They are becoming like the Pentecostal through the ecumenical move, through the charismatic movement. Catholics never used to speak in tongues. Baptists never speak in tongues again, full of the Spirit. Presbyterians wasn't seeking the Spirit. Was there? No. That's why he called them the foolish virgins. They were trying to buy oil. They talk about being in the Spirit now. Because they saw these Pentecostals, they give them the Spirit. That was about the blood. You know, the ecumenical charismatic movement. It's about the blood. All them cold Methodists, everybody now, singing and they're clapping their hands. Why? What is that? They're trying to get them Spirit and life and different things. Like if they're getting the Spirit, they're trying to be like Pentecostal because it's a way to keep their flocks. But not the Spirit. He deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Who did the most miracles of the 969 denominations? Pentecostals. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast that had the womb by a sword and did live. Now watch how this thing is coming. This beast that come out of the earth is saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the womb by a sword and did live. And friends, you're watching, you're going to see America is going to play a real great part. And this last, because Revelation 13, the United States of America is out of there, is going to come and squeeze the force. It's out of America. He said, out of this nation, America. Revelation 13. Because it started with 13 colonies. When they had independence in 1776, 4th of July. That 13 colonies, that 13 stripes, and 13 stars in the flag. Is that right? Yeah. Exactly. He said they found in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, when the Pope went there, how he made 13 steps, served 13 people, commune, all them things. Exactly. In the prophecy where they fit in the Bible. Verse 15. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And this whole chapter is dealing on worship. You take it from verse 4 coming right down. The whole world worship. The whole world wondered. All that dwell on the earth shall worship this one. Now those who know names are not in the book will worship them. This beast will cause the whole earth to worship the first beast. Now it's saying those who don't worship that first beast will be killed. Did he say it's already in writing in this nation? They have it in the constitution there, just written there. He's talking about United States of America, Revelation 15. Out of that nation is going to come those things. And remember all these denominations I've done here, the headquarters is just up there, you know. The headquarters is up there. This is a branch, this is like an outlet. We just fall into a sphere where that power rules. That's why the whole Caribbean has been taking the Caribbean Basin Initiative. Organization of American States, the U.S., is taking all these here. That's why all them go up there to the White House when they want help. That's where they go. They go to Latin America, they go out in Asia or somewhere for help. They go up in the White House. Because in the hemisphere where that power rules, any aid, anything, if they say here going to get developed, they're going to get people from there to come in here, open up industries, open up businesses, and generate some money here. Our money is tied to the U.S. dollar. Exactly. Because God have nations like Egypt, Syria, all them, Iraq, Iran, in the Bible here, Libya spoken of. And the United States rule the world. You mean God can't read the United States in the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Leading the world in the day when the Bible has been revealed. In the day when all the prophecies come in the past. When she have drunk the whole world with Hollywood. Have polluted the whole world. When she with her science have devastated all them cultures. When CNN wiped the whole world. After all, when are the only one who stand for Israel? Listen carefully. Where are all the Jews?
Where's Wall Street? Where's all the money that everyone's going to tap with? Is there money back there? Is the Jews of Wall Street? America's right here in the Bible, in the last days, because she was a nation God raised up for freedom of religion. There was not a nation upon the face of the earth. But notice when that beast rose up, it had 10 heads, and all them heads had their horns and different things on it. Right? But when this beast rose up with two little horns, it never said it had a crown on any horn or anything. Did it say it? This beast had a horn too, but it had no crown on it. Had no dictatorship, had no sovereign king or nothing. It raised up a freedom of religion. It was a democracy. It was a whole new type of society coming forward that the world didn't know about. Because every place had the monarchy, every place had the different, dynasties and had the different things. But when they fled there, they rose up to the powers in the hands of the people. Who they want to elect, who they want to put in there. Is that right?
Sure.
You know history, you're going to see. The Bible proves it here. I don't have time to spend in that tonight, but I just making some of these comments that as we go along so you could help see how it lays here in the Bible. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image should be of the beast should be killed. So there are going to be people who will die and have to give their life because of refusal to worship that false system when it is uncovered by the word and shown to be Antichrist. And that is why in the last days, God has opened up this message and raised up that his people might be called out from these systems that is anti-word. You show them in the Bible and they will accept the Bible. You know why? Our church don't believe it so. And they hold on to some historical thing hundreds of years. And they say, we will not change. We will not teach anything different than what is in our church manual. Well, God have to leave them. Why? Because they would not move on in the light. Many will have to die. You see right in the Bible. Verse 15, showing he will control all religions. He will kill those who don't worship that beast. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, commerce, trade, except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Is what the number for what? And his number is 600, 666. And that is the number of that man, Vicarius Philidii. Roman numerals, you put on V being 5 and C being 1, V, I being 1 rather, C being 100. And you bring it right down like that, and you count it, is 666. Where a man is sitting down right there, forgiving sins, sitting in the temple like he's God, forgiving sins on earth. Is that right? A man who could stop any war, start any war, with 1 billion Catholics who believe he's infallible. If you say no war, no Catholics pick up arms. But what kind of army is he going to have to fight with? Controlling all the businesses and all these things. Now watch something here now. So watch what the Bible is prophesying. But when I hit Daniel, I'm taking this way to go to Daniel to prove to you how the covenant is the money proposition. We accept it. But the Bible never says a covenant for money. But I'm going to show you where it infers it and where it proves it. Because they even asked Brother Bram that here. He was making his statement, and then they come and they ask him in question and answer in the seals. It says, where in the scripture that shows Catholicism will deceive the Jews and get the wealth? He said, now where does it say that the beast will receive for the wealth? It doesn't say that. Because you meet a denominational person and you say, Roman, you make a money for such and such. And they ask, is that the Bible show? If you don't know what you're talking about, you can't show my scripture. But in the Bible, it's in the scripture. The scripture does show it. But you don't say it like that. That's why I'm taking this way to prove to you. This one, in the scripture here, it's going to control all politics. We see it already. Revelation 13 verse 4 and 7. You're going to control all religion. Revelation 13, 8 and 15, we see that. He can control all economics. Because the Bible says you can't buy or sell. No nation, no kingdom, no tongue, no nothing, no company. You can't buy or sell. Now, if we are living the last days, the end time, where is there such a power controlling or is getting a hold of trade? Or is controlling religion? Or is controlling all governments? When the Bible, are we seeing that? And where in the world today can we look and see that? Oh, does it exist? Oh, we are believing or assuming it's there. Oh, we are maybe not understanding what is happening in the world today to see how the scripture is being fulfilled. We don't just want to hope it there, you know. We don't want to say it there and we can't see it there, you know. If the Bible says there, it's there. There must be a way to see it. If we live in the end time and we say we're so close to that, the Gentile time is about over and that time is going to start, then there must be evidence around us. There must be things happening, but maybe because we didn't know the scripture, we couldn't say, look at coming in here, look at coming in here, look at coming in here. But that fourth seal says, he's riding a pale horse. He had rode a white horse, he had rode a red horse, he had rode a black horse, but he's riding a pale horse. And it meant that all them truths being mixed up, it was being united together. Then it means that there is a uniting going on right now. There is a uniting on the United Caribbean. What for? Because they have nothing else to do. They have to do it because the world is changing. It's a new world society coming in. They're uniting Europe. They're bringing new trade zones from Anchorage all the way down to Tierra del Fuego. Look, a couple of the ministers in the message, their custom officers, they even had to go out there recently on a course and they explain how they had to go and learn all these new tariffs and things that is coming in because why? Because of Europe being united. And while the brothers explained how they went in the course, I was just, you know, smiling in the heart because I just got the Holy Spirit months and months lay those things inside and prove those things and show those things what is coming. See? And to see those things coming in or everything is being changed up. I make a little humor to one of the brothers because you know, they come back to train the other custom officers. I say, man, you really come back to work for the beast to train people to implement the beast system here in full effect? He said, no, he's just doing a little secret service work. He's going to jump off when the right time comes. Praise God. So, I mean, but the whole, you know, it just shows. And it says, people talking to you have a better condition because that war that is rising up there in the Gulf. That they want to get ready for. Because it means that we who have less than 1% export in oil. And yet, what has happened quite there, in that eastern hemisphere, we quite down here, seeing better days because of that. The whole world is tied together. Europe united, but yet they have to go and learn all them new tariffs and all them different things. Because they have to revolutionize the whole system in the Caribbean. And now they're talking about one Caribbean currency, one Caribbean state, one Caribbean passport. It's like one, same thing in Europe that they're doing. But when you do that, what are you doing? You're calling in the paper. The prophet said they will call in the paper and destroy the present day money system. See? But they don't say, bringing the money and your money ain't good. No. It's a new system. And it's all for trading for commerce. See? Since this computer age, brother, you can stay here and they send it. They will share money going around the world. See? Electronic banking. And the whole revolution, the world financial system is going through. See, going through great shakings. And then, here in the Bible, they ask him, he says, where does it say that is going to happen? He said, it doesn't say, but we are presuming that was. Now the other night, you look at the tape recorders, I never said that they would do. I see the Catholics is the richest group in the world, nobody like them. But the Bible said, Revelation 17, she was decked with gold and all these different things, right? Revelation 18 show her control in the world trade and commerce. Anybody could read Revelation 18 with understandings. You see where she owned all the motor car industries. You see where she owned the slave market. Is it slave market? Look at the World Cup that went there recently. Where they say it is a slave market, just like in the Roman days. They're buying players and they're selling players. And players can't break the contract. They want to break the contract. This player worth 13 million, this player worth 8 million. And he had to go through. He unhappy. He leave his country. Like that is man Maradona. He leave his country down there. But he got to play quite in Italy, owned by a club, trying to leave. And can't leave. Unhappy. And you have to stay there until that contract expires because you're owned by the club. You're bought and paid for. Sure. They tell you when you can be free, when you can't be free. When you can be here, when you can stay here, when you can't move. You're a slave. Because why? They are the people providing entertainment for the world. They are the people put on the great big tournaments. So they have this table of players. They have the trainers to train like how they train the gladiators back then in the Roman arena and these things. Then they put them out in the grade for entertainment and they have the whole world link up by satellite networks, which they own also. Sure. But you see the age, you see what is happening. You look through the prophetic eyes when this Bible is open and we see we rarely in the Roman Empire. That this fourth empire never went out of existence. Amen. The only thing that put it out of existence is when the stone come in from heaven to smite the whole thing in the feet. Is that right? That kingdom is going to remain there until that stone comes. Exactly. Amen. So he was telling them, he says, look, he wanted to show them to ask the question because there's people like the scriptures. They hear him saying it. How the Jews and them going to make a covenant? Because every teacher knows that in the last part of the week, there's going to be a covenant there between the Jews and Rome. The people of the prince that shall come. And we think how Daniel had known the identity of the three beasts, but he never knew the one of the fourth. And the Jews never knew it neither. They had no revelation. If the Jews had known who the people of the prince was, they was going to know that who Messiah was. But because they didn't know who he was, they didn't know who Messiah was, and when the sanctuary was destroyed by flood, we knew right then from the Bible who the fourth kingdom was. Out of which nation, out of which power it was going to come. And we could identify that power beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, that's the Roman power, because it was Rome that destroyed the sanctuary in AD 70 and scattered the Jews into all the world. It was the Rome that killed Jesus back there. And the same Roman power, which was a political power, pagan Rome, is papal Rome today. It died, it was dying as a political empire. But in AD 325 in the Nicene Council, under Constantine, what happened? Brother, they embraced Christianity, and the ones that killed 68 millions now embrace the religion that they were persecuting and come as the mother religion. Is that right? Yes. Sure. That's the Bible. They took the very religion that the one that was persecuting. Because out of them come every denomination, had no Protestants yet. Amen. Amen. Amen? Sure. And then here today, we see how when that black horse was riding on that third seal, in that dark age, they was capturing the wealth of the world. All the novena they're paying for. Paying money to get people to pray out of purgatory, burning a candle, doing all the different mass and these things. They was capturing the wealth of the world. In the history book showing that the sales of indulgences. Where did they hide the money somewhere? No. But they hold all the gold, they hold all the jewels, all the treasures, everything is right in that Vatican. But when they use Hitler and them, Stalin and them, Mussolini and them, they was using them, capturing the wealth, conquering the modern nations, taking the wealth, bringing it into the Vatican. Today every nation bows to that system. All them great leaders, even to the very Queen of England, went in a black dress and bowed on the air, kissed that ring. Even to the President of the United States went. Is that right? Even them Eastern nations went. Even to the leader of Russia, after 70 years on stifling, stamping on the Catholic Church, he come right back down and wait and call the Pope, "Your His Holiness." Exactly right. When they do it, and the world looks at it, but they wonder. And they ask why. And they can't answer why. And up till now, he hasn't made one statement in this whole ghost crisis. Up till now, not one statement. The man who they want to give the title Prince of Peace. The man who wants peace. Oh, he's playing his cards right. Playing for something a little bigger. Amen. Because that oil weapon, is what they want. But whoever get control of that oil, if they let us see the Trinidad for our oil and let us see the Venezuela for our oil, that won't do the world nothing, you know. There is nothing to replace the Persian Gulf. There is no other kind of power, no other kind of energy, no other nation, no nothing they could do to replace that Persian Gulf. The industrialized nations of the world run on that oil there. And that is why though Kuwait is so small, and though it had once belonged to Iraq, and though they had evidence of the people of Slant drilling Iraq oil, and they only retaliated, yet they don't want the oil in the paw of a madman. Who they feel that could lay the whole world on his feet if he has that power, and especially if in a couple of years he get nuclear power. So you have all the nation in the world. But they rush right in and strangle that man and make him say surrender and give back up that place. See? But it's only a trick. As I said, there's another agenda and there's another invasion. And the invasion that is changing the world is not the invasion of Kuwait. It's the invasion of Saudi Arabia. You mark my words, one of these days you will see that is the truth. They talk about the invasion of Kuwait, but the invasion of Saudi Arabia that has already gone through great changes. They have already have a cultural revolution on right now. And let me tell you, that is what binds people together. The religion. They even had some U.S. soldiers going there and becoming Muslims too. So, they get right in the end and begin to teach them the sciences. Yes, all the sciences are war. Because the power that subdued the other power always extended the influence by teaching them the language, teaching them the sciences. And with the interaction of nations, after they spend time together, you take two families and you put them together. Eventually, they pick up a lot of things the other one has. They pick up something about their lifestyle, they pick up something about their language, they pick up certain expressions about them, different things right away. And then a nation like America, who like to Americanize everything they put their hands on. It's because they have that kind of spirit. They are the leaders. And they kind of go there and get everybody wearing Levi's, and get everybody wearing this, and get everybody wearing tube, and get everybody combing their hair a certain way, and get everybody using American products. And that whole region, all the women that they carry inside of the air. And those women with a big veil over their face and different things, you know, can't drive a motor car, can't do this, can't go to certain places, can't hold a job in a public office. And they see these American women there in the t-shirt and the shorts with a big submachine gun over their shoulder, driving tank and keep all to the place. What do you think is happening? But it's happening under pressure, and they begin to change the culture. Then CNN and all that them things there that they're beaming inside of there, and you have about 200,000 people inside of there. That's a whole city, population, a whole city you're talking about inside of there. And brother, for them, they have to open up certain trade and different things and bring in all the American products there, as long as they're going to stay there. And they don't intend to leave that region. So you see something is happening. It happens right before the eyes of the people. But it is done so subtly every time that they have their eyes on the wrong things while something else is happening. Diversion, smoke screen, they call it. See, hold the mind under control. And exactly what is happening right there. And but in the end, the Rome is going to control those things. You watch and see. Because how could she control the whole world if she don't get a strategic position to have influence with that oil? Because that is their power that could break many nations, especially nations that would be different to her and her policy. Because many people right now, they follow the United States, but they don't know the power behind the United States. But Jezebel was the one behind Ahab, is that right? Ahab was supposed to be a Christian, backslidden, but it was when he married with Jezebel, it looked like a wonderful woman, it didn't look like much. But subtly, she was taking over the nation strategically. Them temples was going up just in places where she needed to go up. Certain leaders who was powerful and too powerful and command influence was being killed. So she could put the right movement and that influence under her power. She don't want to fight up with the small ones. The small ones have to dance with whatever music wants to get the big ones. And once you cripple the big ones, you break the power right away.
Yes, sir.
And you watch and see which denomination outside here is preaching against Catholicism. Is preaching against the beast and the mark of the beast and preaching against all these things and the wrath of God and fire and brimstone and the plagues and the vials and the poor in the generation. Which one is preaching about it? None preaching about it. Yet those things is going to come on this generation. Yet the greatest punishment recorded in this entire Bible was not the angel message upon people who worship the beast and worship the image that had the mark of the beast. Yet we see in the Bible right here that the whole world will worship that thing. And yet they're trying to unite the whole world and all the churches of the world. So then they unite the whole world and that's right. Which is the whole world God talking about going to worship the beast? And next world somewhere else? It's the same world. Amen. But we need to wake up and see that God is shining the light to pull his elected and edify them and purify them and separate them from all these unclean things. These prostitutes. These immoral women, churches. Because Revelation 14, speaking about the 144,000 said, and these are eunuchs and didn't defile themselves with women. Is that right? And he says what the woman is. Churches, denominations. Whores who polluted themselves. They stayed pure. They didn't tamper in with no churches with a false doctrine. And all drunk with all kind of wine and fornication and false teaching, these things. No. They kept themselves pure. That's why there were 7,000 that didn't bow down. And Elijah called them out in the evening time. Exactly. You look back and forth in the Bible, you see it so plain. Okay. I want to make a jump here. Let me finish. I finished with that? Okay. Come with me in Daniel. Let me just get Daniel. So I have to close, so I want to close there so I can give it a study. Daniel 9. You want to get 26. 9:26. Oh my, I tell you the hour that we are living in now, how we need to know these things. It's happening right before our eyes, and may we see it. That is what people miss revelation. You learn this word here, but you don't see it happening around you. So you're talking, you're rejoicing over the word, and you miss it happening right around you. See? And it's creeping up, it's creeping up, it's coming in. That is why we know it's the end time. 9:26. Notice, I'm closing up to this. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? That was 80, 30, 33. Whatever date you want, it's still in right. But we need to cut off at the age of 33. Is that right? That one is right. Amen. But not for himself. It was a sacrifice. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now notice we took that back and forth. Verse 25 talks about Messiah prince. This is another prince. But the people of the prince that shall come. You reading that right? The people of the prince that shall come. Not the people that shall come of the prince. The people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come is the one who you are showing to Daniel all the time. In chapter 7, chapter 8. That little horn. Shall destroy the city. Not the prince shall destroy the city. The people shall destroy the city. The people of the prince that shall come. But I want to show you when the coming of that prince is. That's what we want to get. And when the covenant is and what the covenant is. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it shall be the flood. And that was AD 70. History of it is AD 70. When Titus, that Roman general, destroyed the sanctuary. and scatter the Jews into all the world as Jesus had predicted. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captivity into all nations. And Luke 21 verse 24. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, right here is where people get confused. We have 62 weeks, we have 7 weeks, we have 62 weeks, and we have 1 week. That is 70 weeks. But you see, this 1 week is not saying that God have 1 week there for the Jews. It's saying the people, the prince that shall come, will make a covenant for 1 week. In other words, will make a covenant for 7 years. But he will break it. And what it says? In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolator. I tell you, if you have your Bible have desolate, but it's really desolated, the one who has been bringing all these other desolations that I've been talking about, which is that same Roman power. Okay, let me make a few comments and close. We're going to pick up Sunday and strike it real good. Two princes here. But it speaks of one making a covenant. And we will pick up and see how both of them princes coming, both of them was to make a covenant with Israel. Israel rejected the first covenant, the covenant that the first prince came, which was Christ, Messiah Prince. He made a covenant. But they rejected it. They didn't recognize it. You're going to pick it up, you could read it, I can quote the scripture for you. You read it when you go Malachi 3. Speak about it. 1 and 2. And Hebrews 8 and 9 speak about it also. But in the midst of the week, this last week, look what happens. When he makes that covenant for 1 week, he breaks that covenant. He causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And I told you, if I mentioned, I don't know how much you caught it, the last time when I was speaking there on chapter 8, I read that and I showed you, I mentioned to you. It says, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And I told you, Israel is in their homeland. They have their money. They are a nation. They have their army. They have Jerusalem as the capital, all these things. But they do have no temple. They pray at the wailing wall. And they do have no sacrifice. They do offer no sacrifice. But this year tells us there is going to be that temple worship come back. Because if the cause is sacrificing the oblation to cease in the midst of the week, it means it has to be there. Alright? Now, a question is, when that temple is going to be built? Probably say, is I caught it fresh? I already quote for you. Last week Sunday I preached on the temple. Is I caught it fresh? When that temple is built, the church will be taken away. They don't say that he is saying the church will see the temple. But it's possible. I read to you where they already had the cornerstone and they want to lay it. They already have the instruments being made and they're already teaching people to take up the role of priests. But one of the things is not clear here, and that's why it puts us to watch and to see. Because it could be given back to them, and it could be built within that 3.5 years, and then it's broken. Because it won't take them even a year to build a temple. All the preparations are already made. It's just to get the site and build it and reinstitute the worship. But what's something? It could start. Or it could be done in the first 3.5 years. Because he could build a temple and serve that worship, and then he breaks that covenant after 3.5 years and causes sacrifice to cease. It don't say how long they'll be sacrificing. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So that's what I'm telling you. When it's going to be built, We know it's going to be rebuilt. We know it's going to be reinstituted. And we know it's going to stop after 3.5 years. It will not exceed that. Because the abomination that maketh desolate will be set up when the sacrifice is moved. In other words, instead of a sacrifice being offered there, they will have the man of sin sitting down there. Showing that he is God. What did they sacrifice there when God himself is there? And friends, let me tell you, that there, what we get in there to, I don't know if you pick it up already, but what we get in there to, we're going right back to Isaiah 14. We're going right back to all them seven trumpets messages all back there. Because that is the fulfillment of I will be a worship as God. That'll be what he tried to do with two Cade. That's what he tried to do to Nimrod. That's what he tried to do to the Old Testament with Jeroboam and all them. That's what he finally will come and have the whole world worshiping him. Satan always wanted worship. The man of sin, the devil incarnate himself, sitting down there, being worshipped as God. Ignorantly! And the message of God of this evil age, he said, look at them, worshipping the devil ignorantly, holding to a creed, holding to a dogma, and he's exalting himself, his seminary education, above the word of God. The vindicated word, the vindicated message that God is vindicated and showing the truth. When you hold on to a creed after God vindicates his word and prove that is the Bible truth, you are worshiping the devil whether you want to call it God. Sure. That is why when a man comes to the church, you don't repent. Just like a man come out to a whole house. Just like a man drinking rum and smoking cigarettes in the world. The man comes to the church, the same way, because he have defiled himself with prostitutes. Spiritual fornication. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. It's the same. Amen. That's why Revelation 3 says what? Be zealous and repent. Amen. Sure. Because we were supporting systems in the world that was not of God. Amen. Calling it God. Amen. Because while we were in those systems supporting that, the word is already vindicated. The book is already opened. Amen. It's not that when we come out, it means God now starts to move. God always was there. Amen. Exactly right. It's one of the things that many times people fail to understand that. See, we only think of sin as being immoral. Sin is unbelief. Unbelief in God's word. He that believeth not is condemned already. See? Bible says, God gave them a strong delusion to believe the lie because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Love is a pleasure more than lovers of God. What is the unrighteousness? He's talking about religious people. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about the church who is worshipping this man of sin. This man is showing them that he's God. He's calling fire from heaven, doing miracles. Oh, they want miracles. People want to see little phenomena. They want lights. They want they want feelings. They're going to get plenty of it. Sure. But when they begin to see those things, you watch and see. By failing to see the truth, failing to see the word, is where so many are going to be deceived. That covenant, you shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I don't have the time, I have to stop. I'll pick up Sunday. But you read back in Daniel 7 and 8, because we have to go back there. And you will see where he will cause craft to prosper. By his policy, he will destroy many. You see where he's going to control all you can't buy or sell. That is where, in other words, that is where his power is going to lie. So right now we are seeing, it is because of economics. He will have total control of the world. Why can he control the nations? Why is the kings of the earth giving their power to him today? Why when you have Christian nations or Protestant nations believing Christianity, supporting a Roman Catholic system, why? Going to the Vatican and bowing to the Pope, why? Why does the President of Russia meet the President of the United States, shake hands at the same table, and then go to Rome and bow to the Pope? Why didn't he bow to the United States instead of bowing to the Pope? Which is more powerful? Why did the Queen, who when she goes to the States there, better get the biggest of everything? And when she goes to the Vatican, she has to go to blackness and bow. Why? See? It shows you where power is. It shows you where power is. And they give the power and the strength. And we're going to take them and show how it becomes economics. And that is what that is what the Jews have today. They got all the stocks and bonds. Wall Street is controlled by the Jews. And remember way back years ago, you preached and showed the money proposition. How that money proposition was going to be and how it's going to come in. And with the squeeze and these things. Well, now here in the book, you're going to see how that prince comes in the time of that money proposition. That prince comes in the time when the Jews and Rome will make a covenant. All the time, Gabriel told Daniel, that little horn is going to come when? In the latter times, Daniel. In the last days. The vision for the end. That little horn is going to come up in the days after them 10 horns. After them 10 horns, came up another little horn. Now we find out the latter time, the last days, is the 70th week. Do you see that here? It's the 70th week. And we prove 69 and a half is round already. So we see the latter time. We see the time is coming. And we see this one that is coming, how the world right now is ripe and ready for one who is going to have such a great economic policy, one who is going to bring world peace, one who is going to unite all the nations. We see with communism being destroyed and all the democratic nations, with economic strain itself and the whole world falling apart socially, economically, politically, everything. It's just the time for man to rise in the scene as a new world order is coming in, and they are going into another 2,000 years, the last decade. They are looking for leadership. The whole world is looking for leadership. You see, everyone wanted a Messiah. Everyone wanted a great man to rise in the scene. And God had shown in the last days, Paul had preached about it, there is going to be one who is going to rise. And all these things that we are watching how it's coming in, I want you to see as we take these things in the Old Testament and bring it. But I have some things that we'll have to wait for Sunday to show you the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice and the oblation. Every time that one comes, it's going to be Daniel 8 says he will cast down the sanctuary and the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Daniel 9:27 says he'll cause the cease. Daniel 12 says the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination shall be set up. Daniel 8 says the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation always, and it's going to happen right in that time when he trapped the Jews and get the money tied up. He's going to change the money. And that's how he's going to take full control. Because the whole plan is to trap them by getting them to tie up their money with Rome. Because remember, it is for economic prosperity. Right now, the economic aid that Israel is getting since they come back as a nation is from America. Let me tell you, they are receiving Jezebel's money and don't even know it already. They are being backed and supported by all our fighter planes, all these different things that they have there. The billions of dollars in debt that they owe, they was asking, they say, why you don't get, cancel our debt? Are you going to cancel Egypt debt and Syria debt? Why do you cancel ours? We are your allies in this region all these years. The money is already tied up in many ways. And we are going to see how these things come out. And friends, let me tell you, if we can see the grace of God that has come to us, and the prophecy of these seven seals be open, otherwise we'd sit down here and look at those things out there happening, coming, creeping right in. We'd hear the prime minister talking about these things. We hear people already in the tremors. The budget coming just in, the budget. Let me tell you. I tell the brothers and sisters, God provide for his people always. And the greatest blessings that God people had and the things that they enjoy was when there was times when they had the most economic depression. That is the time they ate. When the king of Israel was hunting grass for his animals, the widow was eating out of that barrel and out of that cruise continually, contented of 3 full square meals a day. Sure. Exactly. When people were under Roman oppression and economic depression back there, Jesus was breaking and multiplying bread and fish for them on the hillside because they had left the organization to follow that word. Exactly right. When there's in the misery desert out there and no nation didn't want them, and Amalek said, you can't pass through here without spending capital. That God even swear he'll destroy Amalek from under the heaven because he wouldn't let them pass through. Balak, bring up Balaam the curse and he don't want them pass through neither. Because they said they're going to eat up everything if they're coming through here. Yet God fed them in the wilderness. Water come to water. He says, I see a man draw a picture with a little trickle. He said, the man be crazy. That was water, 200, 2 million people, and then sheep and oxen and cattle and everything else. There's water in right through there. So you don't be afraid. You look for some of your greatest blessings right here in this hour. Financial blessings, material blessings, I'm talking about everything. Right here in this hour, you look for it. Peter fished all night right in that same water and put it right back in the same water. And but it brought out small fish that called the others to come along and help pull it in. That for everybody, not for himself alone, but for all who was in that lake and couldn't get nothing either. That enough to share and put away for another day. So you watch and see, he is going to take care of us every step of the way. All these things are coming, friends. But as we see it, it's only to give us a consolation that the one who have come down amongst us, who is leading us out, who is showing us these things, who is preparing us and getting us ready, has already made the provision for us. Let us pray tonight. Oh gracious God, we could stay here on and on, but we know the people have different responsibilities. We have to go to our homes. We have children to send to school. The ones have to pick up their jobs tomorrow morning. Lord, we have our business to transact. We have many different things to do. But the few moments that we have come and we can sit together as a body of believers and fellowship along the world, the modern events being made clear by the vindicated prophecy, these things in this book of Daniel that was written there, Lord, that was sealed up, could not be understood. Probed that by many great learned scholars down through the years. But here in this hour, little, insignificant, uneducated, illiterate people like us, Lord, coming up, Lord, to see these things and to understand these great, deep, secret truths. Lord, how wondrous thy works are. Lord God, you can take these things and make it so plain and so simple that we can look in here and see the modern events. We can see where we are standing. We can see where the position of the nations. We can see the position of the church. We can see the position of the world. We can see the position of the Jews. We can see, Lord, how the scriptures unfold right down to this present hour. We can look at our own personal experiences individually as a group of believers, as a church. Oh God, it all accumulates together to reveal the spiritual application of the hour in which we are living in. We know, Lord, that the word is being fulfilled. And the prophets are with such rapidity, only the born-again Christians can really keep up with it. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit, Gabriel, as he came to Daniel and gave him understanding, so he said the Spirit of truth will come to us. We believe you are here. We believe you are giving us skill. We believe you are giving us understanding. I pray, Lord God, it will get greater and greater in our hearts, in our lives, dear God, it will cause the word to be made so plain and so clearly understood. Dear God, that faith could be so inspired in the hearts of your children. Husbands can teach their wives. Fathers can teach his families, oh God, and each one edifying each other as we get together talking about the word. Lord God, seeing the things coming, ministering grace to the hearers, giving every man a reason of the hope that is inside of us. Oh God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, much more we see they're approaching, committing these things to faithful men that they might teach others provoking one another to good works. Oh God, may we be so on fire, may we be so vibrant, may we be so filled, Lord God, with these things, Lord, as the Holy Spirit is pouring it out night after night. Lord, let it become real, let it become personalized, let it become such a rock that we are established upon, let it become a refuge that we are entered into, Lord, and anchored in. Oh God, let it be, Father. Let it be tonight, Lord, that this can bring a stimulation in our souls. And yet, God, as we see all these things, Lord, showing us and pointing that the end of all things is at hand. Then day by day, oh God, as we rise up early in the morning, may we live with a purpose in our hearts. Lord God, as you are coming today, every day, Lord, as you are coming today, Lord, may each day we say in our hearts, Lord, let me live today. Lord, as you come today, let me live closer to you today than I did yesterday. Oh God, with that kind of attitude, watching and praying, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Oh God, help us, Lord. Lord, if we help somebody as we go along, then our living shall not be in vain. Let our light shine. Let men see our good works and glorify the Father. Whether it's in the office, whether it's out in the streets, in the neighborhood, wherever we go, Lord, in the house of God, where we meet someone, Father, that life could turn out in sweetness and purity, in holiness, oh God. Lift voices, shaking the devil, Lord. Let the world see a sign, a super sign, written epistles, read of all men, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to meet those elected ones on the outside. If there are one and two still laying there, Lord, to be brought into the fold. Cause them to cross paths with believers, where the word can be proclaimed, where the word can be testified, Lord. Oh God, like Philip told Nathanael, come and see. Isn't this the Messiah, like the woman of the well? She said, come and see. Isn't this the Christ? Hallelujah! Who told me all things. Oh my God, let us be on fire like that, Lord. He said, he that believeth in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Let there be men and women, like it told you, woman of the well. Oh God, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. There shall be a well of everlasting life springing up inside of you. Oh God, you will no longer worship in Jerusalem or in this mountain, but worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh my God, that is the kind of believers we want to see this hour, Lord. To see a church like that, to see men and women filled with the Spirit, Lord. The lamps trimmed and clear. Oh God, filled with oil. Men and women, Lord, with their eyes anointed with eyes salve, white raiment, gold tried in the fire. Oh God, walking holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Let us see a church like that, Father. As the prophets saw that little group marching down with Christian soldiers, unspotted by the world, and marching to the rhythm of the gospel. Oh God, that is what you promised in this hour. That is what the word will create in the hearts of the people. That is you people who have been formed in your image and your likeness. You promise to beautify the meek with this kind of salvation. Oh God, may we love the truth tonight, and may we receive the love of the truth, Lord. Oh God, we will not be taken by any strong delusion, but Lord, we will grow up into that perfect faith. We will stand here thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh God, grant it, I pray tonight, Father. Pray for this little group of believers here, this little station, Lord, where people come to watch, to wait, to pray, to gather and worship you together, Lord. Oh God, many have come through many hard times down through these years. Many have sacrificed, they have labored. Oh God, many have had to separate from all kinds of situations to come. Many have, Lord, labored, oh God, under hard times, not being able to have the comfort of this life, not even to have a good roof over their head, dear God, or a steady job, steady income, find themselves with children pressured by doctors, oh God. Wanting husband to tap the wife's wombs, dear God, and all kind of things, put all kind of pressure, psychological pressure in the schools of children, being ridiculed and humiliated, oh God, having to bear these things, Father, serving you, dear, not complaining, holding fast your word, trusting you to lead them and to guide them. I pray tonight that the Spirit will give them a surge of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the Holy Ghost will come down even a greater way, dear God. They have been waiting upon you, will mount up with the wings of an eagle. Oh God, you will give them, Father, full press down and running over this hour. I pray, dear God, that they have shown the contentment, as they have shown the faith, and they have shown the obedience. May you grant unto them tonight their heart's desire. Even we as a people, as a body, dear God, trying to build this house, that we might proclaim your truth, that we might serve you in a greater way, that we might give better witness to the message, that we might be able to assist the people into a closer walk, see a more integrated atmosphere amongst us. Lord, we are desired to see these things. We know, Lord, in this great time of economic crisis, but we don't look to that. We see you make Israel cross the Jordan, flow in its banks, Lord God. Lord, the hardest time, we see you brought Israel to the wilderness, oh God, you fed them into Gibeon. We know you are still that same Jehovah Jireh tonight. We know you are more than able to supply every need. We know, dear God, nothing is too hard for the Lord. You told Abraham, Lord God, when Sarah was threatened, oh God, when the cattlemen was having strife and contention, when the Philistines were stopping up the wells, oh God, when in the heat of the day, he was sitting in the tent door, waiting for a visitation, Lord, waiting for you to come in the scene. And when you came, he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, I know, Abraham, I'll reveal these things to him. He will train his children, they'll walk in the way of the Lord. Oh my God, isn't this, Lord, the antitype? Isn't this the same kind of people? Isn't this Abraham royal seed here, Father? Oh God, we know that they are. You know it and I know it, Lord. Oh God, and they're standing here believing you tonight. I pray, Lord, this is the hour. Lord God, there'll be such deliverance in Zion. There'll be such deliverance in this church, in this assembly. Lord God, young men, young women will receive the baptism of fire. Hallelujah. Homes will be revolutionized. The powers of the devil will be broken. All kind of spirit and strife will be cast out from among the people. The little ones will be taught of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon them, Lord. They will have such a desire and a hunger. It will be such an inspiration to the people. Even this in a little touch. Lord, the toddlers come in there singing the songs of praise. Oh God, until the entire assembly is so caught away in the spirit, until there's such a love among the people like it was when the prophet saw them beyond the curtain of time. He said, that's the way it will be before we are caught away one of these days. When iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Among the believers, there will be that kind of love. Oh my God, I pray tonight, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, to the word and the ministry of the word, may the Spirit come behind and give witness. Oh God, give deliverance, give a lift, give confirmation, give a help of faith, and cause the people, oh God, to walk closer, to rise in a higher realm, to come into a greater faith. Oh God, to live by a greater inspiration, to live with greater courage, to live with greater assurance and blessing and consolation in their hearts. Lord, take away all fears and doubts. Let them not be discouraged, Jesus. I pray that they will stand knowing that Lord God, they truly cast all their cares upon you, believing you care it for them. Lord God, they should have cared for your word. You care to confirm and vindicate and fulfill your word in their hearts and lives. May you grant it, oh God. May you grant it tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your quickening power. Oh God, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing amongst us in these last days. We thank you, dear God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, blessed Holy Spirit. Oh God, looking, Lord, to break through every veil, every obstacle in this hour. Make us more perseverant, oh God. Make us more determined, Lord. Oh God, let it be so tight to our absolute, so tight to our tight post. Live or die, sink or swim, Lord God. Regardless of what kind of obstacle the devil will try to throw. Lord God, and seeing there are many here tonight. Lord God, who desire deliverance. Many who are standing in the need of prayer. Many who want you to do something special in their lives tonight. Many, oh God, who want a brand new touch. Many, oh God, who want a real experience, Lord. Many, oh God, who want to see their children saved. See the unsaved family delivered, oh God. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, with God, give them the courage to believe you tonight. Give them the courage to trust you tonight. Lord God, may your Holy Spirit give back the witness in their hearts tonight. Hallelujah. If they trust and never doubt, you will surely, surely, surely bring them out. Oh, God. Many, oh God, who coming around this the first time, they want to know if this is the truth. It might be strange. It might be different. Oh, God. May they not be confused, but may the light shine in their hearts. May the Spirit give witness, give confirmation. Hallelujah. Like it told Peter, it is I. Be not afraid. Come unto me. Hallelujah. Oh, step out of the boat and walk. It is I. Oh, my God. This is that hour, Father. May we press through every veil and every obstacle tonight. And may we get a hold of that reality, oh, God. And knowing, oh, God, Father, it is you. Like Jacob, he got a hold of something real. In that dark hour when you made him stand alone. Oh, God, at the breaking of the day, an angel came down. He said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Oh, God, he knew he had a hold of something real. Father, we know that same one has come down in this day. In the breaking of this day, oh, God. Hallelujah. May they get a hold of him tonight. May they get a hold of that big one. Hallelujah. Who can change them, Lord, from a Jacob into an Israel. Who can make them a prince with overcoming power tonight. Who has power to transform and change them. I pray tonight, oh God, that they would break through and get a hold of that one tonight. They will confess that they are a Jacob, but that he could change the name. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, we give you glory, we give you honor tonight. Hallelujah. You are that one who has come down among your people. You are that one identifying yourself. You are that one that is here. Oh God, with great outstretched arms, Lord, your great eagle wings covering us tonight, bringing us under your wings, Lord, that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, let there be considered faith and a courage, such an inspiration tonight in the hearts of your children. Oh God, cause them to reach out, Lord. Cause them to have faith. Cause them to touch you like that woman with the issue of blood, oh God. She was pressing through, Lord. She was determined, Lord, to press through and touch the hem of your garment. Something in her heart told her, only touch you, Lord. Oh, pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry tonight. Lord, like blind Bartimaeus. Oh God, he was not going to be left behind. He wanted, Lord, to get a hold of what was passing through his midst, Lord. I pray, Lord God, as the Holy Ghost tonight passes through this place, as you're passing through, speaking your word, walking, Lord, coming unto the resurrection. I pray, dear God, if it caused hearts to recognize you, Lord, they would move through every barrier and get a hold of you tonight. That faith would touch you. Oh God, let it be tonight, Father. Let us have that kind of determination. Let us have that kind of purpose in our hearts. Let us, oh God, have our hearts fixed on thee. Like David said, my heart is fixed on thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Hard after thee tonight. I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. Entreat me not to leave thee. Oh God, now when we leave this place, Lord God, we leave so united. There can be such a union of God and man tonight. A union, believers being united with the word tonight, Lord. The word coming down into their hearts and bringing a rest, bringing a peace, bringing a satisfaction, bringing an assurance, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it tonight, Father. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. We lift our hands and we praise you, Father. We give you thanks, Lord. We hold fast to your word. We trust in you tonight, Lord. Oh, we put our confidence. We don't put our confidence in the flesh, but we trust in the Lord tonight. We hold to your word. Heaven will pass away, but your word cannot change. We know that this is the last days. We know that this is the end time. We know that these mysteries have been revealed to get our people ready. Oh, let us be that people, Lord. Let us be that people tonight. Let us see that preparation in our own hearts and lives. Let us see that inspiration, Lord, amongst us, Lord. Oh, God, may you grant tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. When he reached down his hand to me, let's sing that. When he reached down his hand to me, once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior above gave me peace.
John Love. Oh, why don't you just stretch forth your hand of faith? Amen. Let him take a hold of you tonight and lift you up. Friends, don't just come to hear his word. Come to meet with him. Come to get experience with him. Come to be more filled with him. Now when you leave, you can know you met him. You can know you received of him. You can know you fed upon him. You ate of him tonight, that bread of life. You drink of that water from the rock. That Holy Spirit tonight is flowing inside of you right now. You are feeding upon him. You feel life flowing inside of you. You're more filled with life than when you came in. You feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving inside of you. You're going back home encouraged to strengthen one another, to strengthen your loved ones. You're going back more determined to serve God, to stand with a greater testimony in the outside. Oh my, let it be like that tonight. Don't let it be no halfway business. Don't let it be no church joining and just sitting in the congregation falling asleep and don't know what's going on. But I pray you'll be so purpose in your heart tonight. Amen. That God, Holy Spirit, could fill you and fill you and fill you and fill you. That you could so live under the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the real church in this hour. That is the real believer. Your lamps trim and fill with oil. Amen. Your flame burning brightly. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's here to break every shackle of the enemy tonight. Amen. You feeling oppressed. You feeling burdened down. You don't even see. You stand to me and say, Lord, I stand and receive it tonight. I accept it tonight. Don't just sit there and say, maybe dying for me tonight. Doubt your doubts tonight. Cast down your reason tonight. And know that God is here, amen, to give unto you that, friends. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here. That ain't no big belief. That ain't no work of business. God is among his people. The Holy Ghost is in the midst of his people. It's not a man you're feeding on. It's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man in your midst. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a bright revival. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live under below your God-given privileges. That is why God, the Spirit of Truth, is opening his word, ministering an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my, that great outstretched arm is reaching down tonight. He wants to lift you out of the miry clay. He wants to lift you out of any condition where you can't have the victory. He wants to pull you up, amen. Set your feet on a rock. Give you peace that passes all understanding. A love that passes all knowledge tonight. Oh man. Hallelujah. He's reaching up his arms out such arms to you. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed tonight? Who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? As he reaches down to him for you tonight. He reaches down to me. He reaches down to you tonight. Oh my. Not on Calvary alone. Right here tonight in this service. For the preached word. Reaching his arm to you. The outstretched arm of deliverance. The arm of power. All authority and power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When he reached down his heart for me, oh, when he reached down his heart for me, I was lost and undone without God. Oh my, when he reached out his hand, I
one more time when he reached up his hands for me. Sing it in the spirit. Oh, sing it all your heart tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is the hour of deliverance. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For me, a old wretched sinner like me, once my soul was astray. Oh, sing the song from the heavenly way. Oh, my, I was wretched. So low, I was there in this prayer, giving up hope. But when it came to me, dear, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, like he's doing to you right now, and he showed me that I could be free. Oh, receive it. And he lifted my feet. Oh, my God, the glory come to me. Oh, when he reached out. Down his hand. Oh, that's why I'll sing the song now when he reached out his hand to me. How hearts rejoice tonight. Oh, since I made my choice, from the tempest to him, yes, to him. Now right now, friends, don't linger back in the world. Come to him tonight. Voices, when he reached out his hand for me, give him glory. He's our king tonight. He's our deliverer. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Since the Lord gave me peace.